Bishop Geoffrey Rowell is the Anglican Bishop of Gibraltar in Europe. He was still a seminarian when the Archbishop of Canterbury gave him a special assignment.
And they said, well, the Archbishop of Canterbury would like to send greetings to the head of the Asuriani, the Church of the East, who is in Baghdad, but it's very difficult to have access.
His story sounds like something from a spy thriller, but it really happened.
And so I went with a friend, and we took a letter, and we had to get permission to go through a military zone in the east of Turkey, and our routes were diverted, and eventually we got to Baghdad, and we had got an address of some people of the community, and they summoned a businessman who said, the Metropolitan is under house arrest. So I'm not sure whether it would be possible for you to go. But you telephone tomorrow morning and I will tell you what to do, if it's possible. And we did, and he said, go and stand by a bridge over the Tigris. And at 10:30, a green Volkswagen will come by, driven by a middle-aged lady. Into this you will get. And it happened.
Fortunately, he was able to deliver the Archbishop of Canterbury's letter, but his potentially dangerous request for a souvenir photograph had an unexpected ending.
And so we were taken to a house in the suburbs, met the Metropolitan, who was warmly hospitable, delivered the Archbishop's letter. And we talked, and then I asked for a picture. As a memento. And he said, that might be dangerous because people might open your bags going out of the country and that would not be good for you or for me. But do not worry. When you get back to England, you write to my sister. She lives in Ealing.
Bishop Rowell's intensive involvement with ecumenism began whilst he was still a theology student. However, his days in Oxford brought with them a special impetus.
And I can remember the first Newman conference, which was in Oxford in 1966, when Archbishop Michael Ramsay came straight from visiting Pope Paul and wearing on his finger the ring, the papal ring, the Pope Paul had impulsively or deliberately given him as they left St. Paul's Without the Walls and signed the declaration which led to the setting up of the Archic Conversations. I know that, that Michael Ramsay was very moved by that personally, and that set that process going, which of course we've now had two rounds of Archic Conversations. Mm.
It is not always easy to find consensus within the Anglican Communion when ecumenical documents and issues are discussed.
Anglicanism is an ecumenical movement in itself, which has many advantages, but some disadvantages when you're wanting to sign up to documents that have been worked on. You suddenly find that one section of the church, this triggers ideas that of an old kind of no popery kind, or if it's with the Orthodox and there's going to be a major document from the Anglican Orthodox dialogue being published later this year, which I've seen an early draft of, and I think it will be a very important and good document. What will happen then, I suspect, is not that people will think, yes, this is popery, because that doesn't apply, but it will people say, well, they're really rather far away. They're not our neighbours. And one of my concerns is that in England, ecumenical work and dialogue is not simply with the Methodists and the United Reformed Church, and that's all very important. It is actually wanting to say, no, you have to think in a much wider scale. I think all Christians need each other, and there are often, when you look at the causes of Christian division, it's an emphasis that's got distorted in one direction.
In Britain, the Anglican bishops add their voice to those of other Christians involved in government. However, as Bishop of Gibraltar in Europe, Bishop Rowell is in a unique position.
As Bishop in Europe, I'm an anomaly. I will never have a seat in the House of Lords because the diocese in Europe doesn't belong to the establishment of the Church of England, so that although the same procedures are followed in structure, the Prime Minister's Secretary for Appointments is not part of it, and the appointing process means that the name of the candidate as Bishop of the Diocese in Europe goes to the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Bishop of London, and a bishop appointed from the Anglican Communion. And one of the things that also happened when I was appointed was that for the first time in history, the procedures of taking advice from the diocese and the communities within which a diocese works, which happened in England over any Anglican bishop being appointed, for the first time they came out to meet in Rome, Pontifical Council and Cardinal Cassidy. So I, having been asked, I feel, yes, the Orthodox patriarchs were consulted about, not so much about person, I suspect, but about the kind of person. But also there was that visit to Rome, little thing that most people don't know about.
The presence of the Anglican bishops in the British House of Lords helps to make it possible for Christian principles to be exercised in government.
Yes, that is important. It is also important that we have lay members of the church in the House of Lords. Mm. The Christian voice is not just the bishops, but it is a significant voice. And the recent proposed bill in relation to assisted dying was quite hard fought, and I don't think we are finished with that. I think it will come back again because there is quite a pressure to push that from a number of people who are working perhaps with a secularist agenda. But it was resisted by Christian groups working together, the bishops as spokespeople in the Lords, and also those concerned with palliative care.
In legislation, as in everything associated with human life, there is one underlying principle. It is that which Bishop Rowell upholds. Life is sacred.
I think part of where we are at in Europe is one of the major questions is our understanding of human nature. And that time and again seems to be where we have to, as churches, ask questions. When there are questions about education, I want to say there are all kinds of patterns of education suggested. Want more people with mathematical skills, scientific skills, every kind of skill. But you don't pause to ask the question, who is it that you're educating? What is the nature of human growth and flourishing? And what is the place within this of the spiritual? And because it's a difficult question and yet the fundamental question, that's often avoided. And so when it comes to some of the European legislation that comes down and the and things like euthanasia, assisted dying, legislation regarding abortion, a lot of the bioethical issues, time and again it comes back to, well, who is this human being and what are our responsibilities to protect that which is vulnerable and to enable growth and development to take account of the whole person.